Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of production, Seth Habacker.
Good morning.
We're here to have some fun, get you ready for the 10 o'clock hour and the whole weekend and a bunch of other good things. We're going to touch on some entertainment news to kick things off. A little bit later, we're going to get into the 10 states with the longest work commutes.
Okay.
Got that coming up. We'll also get into some Betty Wright stories, good stories of the day, touch on our schedule for the weekend, all of that coming up for you.
Mm-hmm.
We kick things off with some entertainment news. And Devin Sawa, I think that's how you say his name. Nice character actor, late 90s, early aughts. Mm-hmm. I believe he was in Final Destination and a couple of other roles. I think he even had a role in one of the X-Men movies. I'm almost positive he did. Good actor, good young actor. He played Eminem's Stan in the video Stan.
Oh, wow.
And kind of famously in some ways. A pretty well-known video with a pretty well-known song.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he got that part in Eminem's Stan video because of his role in the horror movie Final Destination.
Okay.
But he was not the first choice. He says, quote, "They went out to Macaulay Culkin first, and I think they wanted him, and he wasn't available or didn't want to do it or what have you." Luckily, Dr. Dre had just seen Final Destination, was a big fan of the movie, and was like, "I want that kid."
Wow.
So they did not audition. They just reached out
they
to him.
They just reached out to him.
He freaked out and couldn't be more excited to do it. He went and dyed his hair that day just so to play the Stan of Eminem and all this. And he says, quotes, "It's one of the proudest things I've been a part of."
That's so cool.
It's pretty cool.
Like, it is.
He didn't make jack off of that. And nobody really remembers him being in it or anything. But for him as an actor, you don't get a lot of opportunities, especially as an actor at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You're working for the paycheck.
Yep.
I will never forget one of my favorite moments in interview history, I think. Desus and Mero were interviewing Samuel Jackson. Sam, go ahead. You could tell us. What movies have you done for the money? All of them. Like, it doesn't miss a beat. All of them.
Like, that's my job, man.
Yeah. It's the work. I mean, of course, there are roles that you like to do. Like he talked about doing King Kong or the Godzilla movie or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Growing up liking those movies. So you want to do that one or whatever.
Right, sure.
But, you know, you're an actor. This is your job. Of course you're...
make a living.
Ask a clerk, you know, what are the items you like to check out and which are the items you don't? You know, which ones do you do for the love of the game? Like,
I love that idea. But no, it's
Reese's piece. Anytime I have to sell a Reese's, feel good.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right, you know, especially when you're young, you know, and it started your career kind of thing. Yeah, you do work. Well, you do whatever.
Give me work. Heck, even at my point, the job I did yesterday, I didn't do because I wanted to. It was for the money. It was for the resume. I'd be completely honest about it. I'll tell them that.
Yeah, right.
I pretty much think I did. At least it is now. last week's total solar eclipse pushed Soundgarden's 1994 hit Black Hole Sun to number one in the Billboard's Hot Hard Rock Songs chart.
What?
That's hilarious. Number one. Like, last week alone, it earned 4.2 million official streams, which is up 34%, and 2.5 million in radio airplay audience, which is up 19%. This is the first time Soundgarden has topped this chart, which was created back in 2020. Other songs that got a boost, of course, Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart, CCR's Bad Moon Rising, and Pink Floyd's Eclipse.
Of course.
We are predictable.
Yeah.
But I like that, actually. I think that's kind of cool ways.
It's not bad at all.
Kind of interesting.
Sounds like, you know, someone should make a show like that.
You know, it's a pretty good idea.
Picks a theme and then plays a bunch of songs. You know, maybe
love
someday.
I that idea.
Isn't that a great idea?
No, we shouldn't let this go, man. Okay? In fact, since you came up with the idea, I think you should have your name in the title.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
I think that's fair. So
now hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. Seth listens to music.
Okay.
No, that doesn't sound
that
right.
That doesn't quite
does
have
it.
A
no,
nice ring
not,
to
not
it.
Really
you know?
Recognized, not really memorable
Seth
either.
Seth plays records.
Not bad. What about Seth plays 8 tracks? Now nobody's doing that.
No,
nobody's doing
I got that whole lane
radio.
To myself right now, you know.
Or maybe Seth faces
the music. Yeah.
Maybe that'll be a good one to do. Maybe that'll be a good one. More on that in a moment. I should just take the segue, but I'm
yeah,
not
yeah, right.
Not
that's
gonna.
Okay. That's right.
I do want to get into new music this weekend being released today. You've got new music from Ann Wilson, Rebel. This is her second album. Not to be confused with Ann Wilson from Heart. This
no,
is
different. Annie. There's a few Ann Wilsons out there.
I should say Annie Wilson, I think, okay, is her name. Annie, right, Wilson. The Melvins have Tarantula Heart out. This is their 27th album.
The Melvins. The Melvins are still doing it. Good on you guys.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Man,
they've got a hardcore, like a core following, yes, that just does loves everything they do. So I appreciate them sticking around for so long.
Local Natives have a new one out, their sixth album, But I'll Wait for You, another good one.
Okay.
UB40 with their 21st album in recognition of their 45th anniversary.
Wow. Good for you guys.
And it's called UB45, which is pretty good.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, actually. That's not bad.
UB40 weight.
Dark Matter from Pearl Jam. This is their 12th album, and it's been a little while since they released new material. Not that long, but a little while since they have. Great to see them still pumping out, doing
man,
great
you
music.
Know, I was looking for some picking up some songs for like Unlabeled or Seth Bay, one of the two, and I saw on Google on YouTube. You know, so how many people subscribe to the Pearl Jam? It's over like 1.5 million.
It's crazy.
I had no idea they were still going so strong, which is great. It's awesome.
You'll be able to hear UB40 and Pearl Jam, not Pearl Jam, but UB40 in the next Unlabeled.
That's right.
We're going to have that lined up for you. That's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And also, of course, the big one being released today, the Tortured Poets Department from Taylor Swift. This is her 11th album. Her guests on this one include Post Malone and Florence and the Machine.
Wow.
So, new music from her, of course, is always going to be groundbreaking, make news and everything. I will admit, I like the name of the album. I like that. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Not surprising to see her Post and Malone work together. Finally, I don't know if they have, but they are big fans of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's really cool.
It's not too surprising there. I will say, it is a compliment to Taylor Swift. If you are going to do a song with Florence Welch, if you're going to do a duet with Florence Welch, you better be able to bring it. And that's not me. Yep. Like, that's no shot at anybody.
No.
That's just, have you heard Florence Welch? Dear God, man. There's few singers alive right now that can do what that woman does.
She's got pipes.
She is incredible. Watch her Saturday Night Live performance. Watch any bit of her live, and she will blow you away. This is interesting. So I listened to a little bit of the Beyonce new album, and not a whole lot, but what I've heard more of is a lot of people who really know music and really know like country music and genre music and all this and talking about it. And there was a lot of compliments made to Beyonce and all that. Excuse me, including a lot of the guests on the album and everything. one of the songs she does with Miley Cyrus.
Oh yes, I remember hearing about that. Yep.
And if you don't know, and if you're like me and not that familiar with Miley Cyrus and don't know that much, and I'm being told by everybody, this is a banger, you got to hear it, you got to hear it. And you have to hear it for one particular reason. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I listen to it. And I know Beyonce, and I know what a powerful singer she is. I want to apologize to Miley Cyrus right now. I had no idea how good that woman is. That woman can sing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has got an incredible, unique voice. Mm-hmm. And really, like, I forget that both of them have a kinship in that they started so young in this industry.
Yeah.
For a long point of their lives, they were the breadwinner.
Yep.
Like, you'd think, well, Billy Ray Cyrus, he had a hit. Of course. No. He did not have money. He did not have those things. They were making money off of their kids. That's not a shot at the parents or anything like that. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just saying how long they've been doing this. Since they were 12, 13, they've been doing this. And then you hear them sing together.
Right.
And I got to say, if I'm Beyonce, I'm not sure if I would have released that. Other than I'm a big fan of her, and I don't care if people think I could sing as good as her or not. Because I don't think anybody's going to say Beyonce is not a great singer.
No.
But I don't think enough people seem to realize how great Miley Cyrus of a singer. Right. She is dang good. I give her credit.
Well,
I'm not a fan or anything like that. I'm not saying it like that. I'm just saying, geez, you know, give credit where it's due.
Well, and it's kind of what we were talking about Samuel L. Jackson. It's her job, you know.
Yeah.
This is what they do, and they're good at it, you know. Yeah. That's kind of thing. Now, and if you don't, if you're not familiar with Miley Cyrus or you've heard some of her music, not necessarily things that she gets to display her vocal chops a lot, because it's dance music and that stuff. It's fun, and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily she gets to let loose, you know, kind of thing. And then when she gets to that thing, wow, ooh, you know, that's kind of cool that you get to hear that.
You hear her in this song, and it's her, like, showing you, oh, I can sing, by the way. It's not just the party songs or anything like that. I can also bring it. And she really did.
And then there's the Melvins, who've released the same album 26 times.
No,
I'm just kidding about the Melvins. But anyway.
New on your small screen this weekend, already premiering on Friday, today on Netflix, Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver, the second half of Zack Snyder's Space drama. A lot of people have been taking some shots at it. And I actually didn't think it was bad. I just it's one of those things when they put too much hype on stuff sometimes. And to no fault of anybody's, because you got to sell these things. I get all that. But it does get to a point when you do that the bar is set. You got to meet it. I'll watch the second half only because I watched the first half, to be honest.
That's fascinating to me. You know, because certain properties are always going to get tons and tons of hype, okay? Mm-hmm. And if it's something that's, like, less than, you know, stellar, space joke.
Nice.
It's going to say, oh, it was overhyped. But now, take, for instance, Shogun.
Yes.
Which was also very hyped. But people are like, wow, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, this is such a great show. You don't hear... That was overhyped.
Yeah.
Because maybe it meets a certain standard. I don't know. Right. Or not a certain standard, but a certain, you know, you know what people appreciate more. They say it's better. You know,
What you have in your
critical acclaim. Critical acclaim, you know?
and audience acclaim. And I think that like Oppenheimer stood up to me. Like all the hype that went into that, and when I saw it, I'm like, yeah, actually, they could have sold it more.
Yeah, right. Like, maybe it's. I think it all has to do with how things turn out.
You can check that out, everybody. Also tonight on CBS at 8 o'clock, the rebroadcast of Billy Joel's 100th Live at Madison Square Garden event. Hopefully they'll let you hear the whole thing this time.
Say after their epic fail.
Yeah.
Wow.
Roku has the series premiere of the Spiderwick Chronicles. It's a remake that stars Joy Bryant. And also Christian Bale is also in it as the villain. Ooh. Interesting. That's a big get for them.
That is. That's an interesting. He's playing a lot of villains lately.
He has.
That's interesting.
Yeah. American Idol will be on Sunday with the top 14 performers doing classic rock from Rock and Roll Hall of Fame songs. The current inductees, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
Also on A&E on Sunday, WWE Rivals, Hulk Hogan versus Macho Man Randy Savage. I couldn't read the title there. Sorry.
Wow. They're wrestling each other?
Well, I think it's a bio kind of thing.
Oh, I'm like, wait a minute. They're too old to be doing that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think Macho Man's around anymore.
No, I think you're right. Yeah.
So that would be a very quick match. Sorry. That was not.
He's now the Undertaker.
Oh, brother. That was pretty good. Tasteless, yes, but funny.
You know, he would have liked it.
He definitely would.
He would have liked it. He definitely would
have. Not a lot being released in theaters this weekend. You've got the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, an action comedy starring Henry Cavill and Cary Elwes, along with a lot of other great actors.
Cary Elwes,
Cary Elwes is in this. He's been working a lot more lately. He's been doing a lot more work. Not big roles, but roles like this where he's got like 16 lines or something.
And it's a – I know it's Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a lot of explosions in it. But I never thought I would see Cary Elwes in a movie. That's really interesting. Okay. All right.
I think in part so this is about a Britain's first special forces mission to try to stop Hitler during World War II. You tend to see some of that sometimes with actors like him. Hard Miles is in limited release. Matthew Modine as the coach of a bicycling team at a medium security correctional facility. Sean Astin is also in that one.
Ooh, I like both those guys.
Yeah.
Good actors.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
And Abigail. It's a new horror where Giancarlo Esposito gathers a group of criminals to kidnap his a daughter, and they find out the daughter, she's a vampire.
So, okay, all of that you just said doesn't – my brain just broke, I think.
Yeah.
Giancarlo Esposito, and then criminal, and then a vampire. Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, Giancarlo Esposito, I mean, he's so – good. He's so good.
He's so good.
Everything he does.
They got a great cast for this one. There's a lot of really good actors in it. Dan Stevens, Catherine Newton, Melissa Barrera, a lot of good actors. And I'm not going to see this. I'll be honest. I'm probably not going to see it.
No.
But I will say, if you're going to do a kidnapping movie or a vampire movie, like at least they made it a little bit different.
They did.
Like, I don't know if I've ever heard of a vampire or a kidnapping movie where the kidnappers become the hunted or any of that. Like,
That's interesting.
It's a nice twist on it.
Maybe Maybe it is better than we think. Anyway.
We'll see. You might see. I don't know if I will. Let's take a call before we go to break. Good morning. What's on your mind?
Hey, I heard you mention Cary Elwes. That's the guy from The Princess Bride. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, all great right. actor.
I figured I'd ask you guys because you know everything.
We guess out a lot.
Seth, you are from the homeland, and I got to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Totally off topic. Is it true, and I think we're about the same age, that at one time in Minnesota, there was only one Pizza Hut number to call for the entire state?
I want that to be true.
I do too. I doubt it highly, but I never heard that before. No.
Let's just go ahead. Nowadays facts don't matter. Let's just go ahead and say it was true.
In college, my mom worked at the Pizza Hut in Duluth. So I wonder. I'll have to ask her, see if she remembers anything like that.
What what a crazy connection that he would ask that question and that happened. Oh, that's crazy.
No, but I was watching a lot of these retro commercials and stuff, and there was any number anywhere in Minnesota, but there was only one number. It was 1-888-888-988 or something.
Wow, maybe
like that.
Maybe there was. That's cool.
I love the idea of there's one Pizza Hut working their tail off in all of Minnesota, just working like crazy.
Pizza Hut call center in Minneapolis.
Your pizza will be there in 6 hours.
Actually, six and a half, man. Actually, yeah, probably six and a half. Yeah. It's winter.
Okay, yeah. Seven.
Great call. Thank you, man. Have a great
good.
Weekend.
See ya.
Have a great weekend. Great call. We got to get to break. We'll come back and have some more fun talking the longest commutes in the country coming up on Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you, getting you ready for the weekend. Thanks so much for joining us.
Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that song was hit just because of that.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the shouting. If you have a bunch of people shouting, it sounds good.
People love it. People
they do. They love to sing along.
People love songs that they get to have the part where they get to sing along and be a singer.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Sweet Caroline is probably a big, big song, but because of the people being able to sing along with it, it becomes a legendary song.
Yes. Legendary song. Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way Neil Diamond saw that one coming, or Neil Simon. Neither one of them. Neither one of them did. Nobody named Neil saw that coming.
Someone asked him.
Somebody just goes up to Neil Simon.
Say, and about that song, Sweet Caroline. What are you talking about?
You realize I didn't write that, right? I mean, I'm
a playwright.
Wrote a lot of good stuff, but I didn't write that one. If you don't work from home and you have a morning commute, this might be more something that interests you. Until someone figures out teleporting and all that, we're going to be stuck with this whole transferring to work, getting to work and all that.
Yeah.
U.S. Department of Energy just released some new stats on the average commute time by state. The report is new, but the data is from 2022. Overall, the average one-way commute in America is 27 minutes.
Wow. That's long.
Yeah. The state where people are spending the most time commuting is New York. Shocker. People there spend 33 minutes getting to work. Maryland is second, followed by New Jersey, the District of Columbia, and Massachusetts.
I-95.
Yeah. Yes.
I-95 corridor, yep.
California is only sixth at under 30 minutes, despite its notorious crammed freeways. A sub-30 commute in L.A. is a perk. Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's just L.A. Let's be California's a big state, and I know L.A. is big, but come on, this isn't the whole thing.
And this gives me a chance to be a nerd and talk about the main reason why this is. And there is a lot of data and a lot of different things that will tell you. But if you notice, the majority of these are in our oldest part of our country.
Yep.
Where we were first designing roads. And again, thinking of things that nobody could predict the population that we saw and the quickness of that population.
The advent of cars, the fact that cars became the mode of transportation, that was not a given.
So many. There are still roads in Boston and everything that were designed for horses that are being used.
Narrow, cobblestone.
You add on all of those factors and onto the top of all the things you just said. And yeah, it's not too surprising that you would see obviously New York, but the Maryland and District Columbia ones, New Jersey, obviously, and then you throw Massachusetts in there.
That's
not too surprising. I just hadn't thought about it before.
That makes sense.
If you want to move to a state with a short commute, consider both the Dakotas. South and North Dakota have an average commute time of less than 18 minutes.
Oh, here's irony. That was probably my longest commute.
That's weird.
When I lived North, because I worked in Fargo, but I lived outside of Fargo, and I had to go downtown, which was as far as I could, you know, go and still be in the state. So I had like a 45-minute commute when I worked in North Dakota. So, I don't know. I'm a little off.
That's actually kind of interesting. And let's see here. Wyoming is the next. Oh, yeah. Now, Wyoming is the next shortest, followed by Montana, Nebraska, and Alaska. Of course, not surprising if any of those.
Wide open spaces all over the place.
Yeah. I bet you that commute is probably a little bit more, you get to see a little more beauty to it, too.
That's
and
true.
Everything.
The landscape.
It's a little surprising that vast states like these would have shorter commutes than cities with public transportation, but even if you're covering less distance, you have to factor in walking to and from mass transit, along with the wait times.
That's right. Makes sense.
And you can find out this complete article at energy.gov. What about Wisconsin? Where do they rank? I'm seeing that Wisconsin, as far as average commute time, way down on the list. I would say bottom 15. It doesn't have this numbered.
Yeah.
But just eyeballing it, I'd say bottom 15, bottom 10.
Not bad.
You know, you got the Dakotas, Wyoming, Montana, Nebraska, Alaska, Iowa, Kansas, Idaho, Utah, Arkansas, and then Wisconsin.
Okay.
So not too bad, considering.
Yep.
I got nothing to complain about.
Not really.
I've been working at this station for a long time, and where both stations were located, I was pretty close. So I've got
even,
no complaints.
And now we don't even have to worry about trains anymore. Yeah, so yeah, it's like much. Even better, you know?
It does bring us back to the public transportation conversation. And not only for us here in a rural area like this, but just in general, and the importance of public transportation and how, along with infrastructure, these are things that I want our next president, I want our next governor, I want our next senator, et cetera, to be talking about, to be thinking about. I don't care if it's not a sexy topic. I don't care. We need to cover these things.
Yep.
I feel like everybody's already forgotten about the bridge collapse that just happened. And was that because of infrastructure? Not all completely. And there are still data being collected and a lot of good work being done by people over there. But we know for darn sure that it played a part. It had a factor in it.
Yeah.
That is known. That is there. And it's not the only one. It wasn't too long ago that we had a bridge collapse in Minnesota.
Yeah.
It wasn't
15 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. That was devastating and everything. Why do we have to wait for natural disasters or for disasters to do something?
The Society of Civil Engineers, every year they come up with a grade and it's always D minus.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think we've gotten to F yet, but I mean it's sad. I mean, so many of the big projects are from the 1930s.
And
1930s, it's almost been 100 years.
And so much of this is our own fault.
Oh, yep.
Because politicians want to get voted in. Yep. And they don't want to talk about this because, well, it'll involve raising taxes. And people lose their minds at the idea of their taxes being raised. Do you not understand the world you live in? If you don't like this, there are maybe other countries you can go to that don't, you know, operate the way we do here. If you're here, play along. Pay your dang taxes. Quit complaining about paying your taxes. Obviously, pay attention to it. There are certain things like property taxes and all those things. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like governmental taxes, you know, your state taxes and these things that pay for our roads, that pay for our infrastructure, that pay for our schools, all things that matter for the future.
Yep.
Quit looking at the universe and the world just from your perspective and how it affects you. You got a lot of other people to share this with.
Because here's the thing. Doing these things, this infrastructure and everything, helps everyone, including you.
Yes.
A lot, and it has effects on things you don't even think about, okay? Mm. You know, cost of living, things like that. Finding, you know, having enough jobs in your area. How can people go to jobs if they can't get to them? How can they do jobs if they can't get to their jobs? I mean,
It
seems pretty simple to me.
This is such basic knowledge.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more it could be broken down.
Really?
Maybe we can get a Schoolhouse Rock out of there, something like that. Maybe, you know, that'll
so
do
we'll
it.
Work
that'll
on that.
It. Yeah, we'll be working on that during the commercial break. You guys stick around for state and local news, some entertainment in there for you as well. We'll come back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Little Dire Straits to play Seth and I in. Those just memorable bands.
Oh, I love Mark Knopfler.
Yeah,
such great. A great guitarist.
I was just going to say, just a really, really good guitar player. We're here to take it to the top of the hour. We'll get some good stuff coming up for you. One more break as well, but we'll get into this one. Are these once-loved movies cringy now?
Oh.
It's an interesting topic.
I'm cringing already.
yeah, because I just even a glance at this list, and they're in no chronological order, but certain jokes, plot details in movies, once we loved and laughed at as a kid, now watching like through embarrassed eyes and things like that. So how have all of these held up? Well, some of them better than others, I'd imagine.
Okay.
And we're just going to take a look at the list real quick here. Right. And again, they're in no particular order. At number 11, The Blind Side from 2009. Certainly with the information that we have gotten from both the family and Michael Orr, who knows what was true and what wasn't.
But of course, and I mean, it was a fictionalized account, of course, from the book, because, you know, the book itself was different from that. All of Michael Lewis's books, you know, you have to change them in order to make a film out of it. But still, I mean, you can't not see it in a new light.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about everything that Michael Orr said and everything that's gone since then. So it does change it, you know, and which is kind of bad because, you know, Sandra Bullock didn't have anything to do with that. She just did a really good performance, you know?
It's the part of it that does, obviously, whatever bad happened for either side, Michael Orr or that family or whatever, you'd feel bad for. But I don't know. I'm a big Sandra Bullock fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that there's going to be a lot of opportunities for her to win Oscars, to win awards like that. No. To have your Oscar kind of tied to something like that, I feel for her.
Of a bummer.
She's such a likable, great performer and actor and has been a good citizen and all these things. That's a shame. Garden State comes up next. Garden State from 2004. I never saw this movie. It's kind of remarkable how quickly the tide turned on Garden State. A year after it was at Sundance Darling, a critical and commercial success, won a Grammy for the soundtrack, chock full of early 2000s pop hits and everything. To bestow Garden State as the navel-gazy pity party it actually is, it's a depiction of mental illness. It's bizarre at best, dangerous at worst. It's a coming of age movie for people whose coming of age has come and gone long ago, and it's much too coddling. So there's a lot of that to it, I guess.
Right. And I haven't seen it either, but one thing they mentioned in there, our views of mental health have changed so much over the years that there's certain ways that they were depicted in the past that just aren't good.
It's very weird. Zach Braff, he's got Scrubs, he's got A Star Rising and all these things. He puts a lot into this movie, writes, I believe, directs it.
Yeah, I think
and
you're right, yes.
As they say in the article here, he becomes a darling for a little bit.
He does.
But then he demolishes almost all that good when people start dissecting the movie. And then he is trying to sell to literally every studio in the country Garden State 2. And nobody wants it. So then he goes to a GoFundMe page and starts telling people that they have to make the movie and fund it for him. And when you're a $1 million, who knows what Zach Braff's net worth is, but the audience is seeing a Hollywood actor asking for money. That kid is lucky to do commercials now. That's how bad these events happen. And that's how quickly, literally almost overnight, his star goes from up top to now I'm begging to get commercials. And the only reason I do is because I'm friends with Donald Faison. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think of. And he hasn't helped himself any in interviews and some other stuff, too. But it's just really weird to see.
Donald Faison is awesome, by the way.
Donald Faison is underrated.
He's
underused and underrated.
Yeah,
he's awesome. Love Actually shows up on this list from 2003.
Oh.
a lot of Me Too stuff in this one. A lot of the whole, hey, you know, a lot of people romanticized some of the movie. And now looking back on it, kind of like, well, that doesn't seem kosher. Yeah. That doesn't seem right. Yeah. You know? It's a hard balance of what is romantic and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
A movie that I love, but I will wholeheartedly admit does not hold up very well, The Boondock Saints from 1999. But I also think that something to consider with a movie like that, too, is did you watch that movie for its historical accuracy or that it would hold up or anything? Or are you watching it because you want to see some guns go off and everything?
Right.
You know, there's a little bit of that, I think, with both. Mm-hmm. Also, American Pie. Obviously, that movie has not aged well.
Oh, my God.
Now, keep this in mind.
It was
mind.
Cringy when it came out. I'm sorry.
American Beauty as well. Well, for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
That never made sense to me in the first place. Why that movie was so celebrated, I have no idea, other than a bunch of middle-aged white guys imagining themselves in Kevin Spacey's role and propelling the movie up
Which
top.
Is just icky.
On a lot of levels.
Yeah, creepy, icky. No, yeah. No, we're not. No.
The Kevin Spacey part of two. Yeah, yeah.
That's more than cringy. That's like, I got to take a shower, you know, kind of thing.
When it comes to when they talk about overrated movies, it's one of the first movies to pop in my head. I didn't understand it at the time, and it didn't just not age well. It didn't age at the time.
We need to come up with one of these lists. Mm. Most overrated Oscar best pictures.
Absolutely. We're doing that.
Yeah,
we're doing
we
that.
We need to do that. Top 10.
Mark that one down.
Maybe we can
brother.
Do that in Director's Cut or
I was
something.
Just
but, say, yeah.
Yeah, that's a Director's Cut episode. Yeah. Looking forward to that. So American Pie and American Beauty. Interesting, both of them with American, the title. That's interesting. So those are from 1999. I think when we think of these movies, we're thinking of the 80s, the 70s, the 80s. Braveheart from 1995, historically horribly inaccurate.
Yep.
There are kids that grew up having this movie in history class that mm-hmm. they would watch it and stuff. And look, it's not to say it's a bad movie. That's not necessarily the case.
Right.
And obviously the Mel Gibson angle on it does give a little bit of,
again, the off-the-screen stuff will color this movie, yes.
But it's just there's so many historical inaccuracies. And while here in the States we may love that movie, how do you think they feel in Scotland about that movie?
I'd be curious to find a Scottish person and ask them that question.
Yeah.
How do you feel about a non-Scottish person doing that?
Gorgeously filmed movie, mm-hmm. but the movies were underserving at the time. Robert the Bruce's Rebellion Kills didn't exist yet. Blue Woad face paint went out of style centuries earlier. William Wallace's love interest Princess Isabella would have been 10 years old when historically and everything.
He did not impregnate
the French queen or whatever. Any of these things, like all of this stuff, like none of it happened, and it's just. Kind of celebrated as this great historical movie.
And it's a matter of degree. Could you say like Oppenheimer is probably more historically accurate? Yeah, but they still took license because it's a movie. That's what you got
to
do.
And that's something to keep in mind with this mm-hmm. too. While there are some movies that I would not recommend watching anymore or letting anybody see you watching that movie. There's other ones where hey, if you like Braveheart, that's fine. Enjoy the movie. Just understand that it's not historically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Just taking that in consideration. I think that there's plenty of space for both. You mm-hmm. can do both. It's all you.
Yep.
And I never like. One of the things I can't stand, I'm a huge Mike Patton fan. Mike Patton, lead singer, Faith No More, Mojo, a
Mr.
couple
Bungle.
Of bands, Mr. Bungle, all that. But I heard him in an interview recently kind of trashing another band. And that bothers me because it comes from a sense of, music snobbery. You know, like, look, if you don't like the band, that's one thing. But when you start telling other people you shouldn't listen to this or you shouldn't do this or whatever.
Yeah.
That bothers me with entertainment. Teach their own. You know, you like something. I don't have a Taylor Swift song on my playlist. If you do, more power to you. It's not for me.
Yeah.
She's doing fine without me. I don't like when people get that way. It's mm-hmm. one thing to have your own opinion about something. I don't like this or whatever. But mm-hmm. when you start judging other people for their tastes, that's, for one, look in the mirror.
Yeah.
We've all got
it's
something.
It's all subjective.
We've all got something that we don't, we wouldn't be necessarily proud
that's
of.
That's why they're
knowing.
Called Guilty Pleasures.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes. Which, another good show idea.
Guilty Pleasures.
Your top Guilty Pleasures.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
And somebody writing these down. Forrest Gump shows up on this list.
No, I have completely turned around my thinking about that movie. Again,
that's tough.
The movie itself is not the performances are good.
Yes.
You know, yes. Tom Hanks, Gary Sinise, you know, Robin Wright, they all do marvelous in that movie. There's some really great acting in that.
Really great.
When I found out that Winston Groom, the writer of the novel, it was a satire.
Yeah.
And Robert Zemeckis turned it into sincere.
Yeah.
It's problematic because of the way that it's presented.
Yep.
It really is problematic. So I'm not, I don't, if I never see Forrest Gump again, I'm fine. I'm willing to celebrate the actors that were in it.
Right.
Because they did a good job, but yeah. That's it. That's where I'm done.
You know, all the actors you mentioned, I just was, you mentioned Tom Hanks, of course, but mm-hmm. Tom Hanks and Sally Field are integral to me why I watched that movie, why I like that movie
so
much.
Sally Field was so good in that.
But again, even though Zemeckis didn't intend for it to be, I went into it and approached it like a satire and felt that way about mm-hmm. it. It was almost too silly not to. In many ways.
In a lot of ways, you're right. Yeah.
When it started getting all the notoriety and all the awards and all that, that's when I was a little like, whoa. Like, wait.
People were taking it sincerely. Yeah.
Did we not realize what was going on here? And apparently Robert Zemeckis didn't either. If you watch that movie for take this with a grain of salt, the fun of it. Mm-hmm. You know, for certain aspects of it.
The silliness of it, yeah.
Certain aspects of the silliness. Mm-hmm. But when you talk about Lieutenant Dan and his story, you talk about Robin Wright's character and her story, mm-hmm. like, they are really badly done. Like, they are really, really badly done.
Yep.
The way that they cover basically just with, like, one line, HIV, you know, or something like that. The way that they cover, you know, PTSD or our Vietnam veterans and stuff.
Or
like,
disabled people.
Yes. Where they're basically making fun of him in many ways and stuff.
Are.
Like, I know for one thing, I know Gary Sinise didn't feel that great about that part of it, but really did appreciate, of course, the awareness that some mm-hmm, of it brought. Yeah. It's one of these mixed bags. And then there's movies like 16 Candles.
Oh.
And basically anything that came out from like 1988 and earlier, like anything from 80 to 88.
I don't want to.
Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah. Oh, like, I mean, just, you know, so many of them.
I don't want to cast aspersions on John Hughes.
Yeah.
He made movies that were popular.
I love
And people
Hughes.
Really like those movies. They're well made. But they just don't hold up.
They just don't.
They can't. Don't. No. It just doesn't work anymore.
I watched The Breakfast Club maybe a couple years ago. And I love... If you asked me before I watched it, oh, that's one of my all-time favorite movies. That movie influenced me. I love that movie. Were there some parts of it that I still enjoyed? Yeah, definitely. But overall, oh, wow. Oh, that's got some problems in it, man. That's got some tough stuff in it. And this isn't... It's not revisionist history. It's not canceling history. It's not any of that. It is taking things with a grain of salt. It is having some context with this stuff.
100%, man. Beth and I, like I said earlier, we went on Monday to watch The Philadelphia Story. There's problems with that movie.
Yeah.
Okay? It's made in 1940.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
There are problems with that movie, but you understand that going into it. Okay? So let's be clear. We're not saying, you know, don't watch 16 Candles ever, but just go into it understanding what you're going to see.
Yeah.
And that it was a different time and everything. We do not have to say, oh, whatever. We can still say, no, that's problematic.
Yeah.
We can do that. Heck, and you can still watch it.
We can use these as opportunities to bring these things up, to be
Absolutely.
Able to talk about these things.
It's important.
You can do two things at once. We got to get back to that as a society of reminding people, you know, you can chew gum and walk at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Although I love the idea of like just a line of people just standing there chewing gum, like and just waiting to be able to walk again.
Okay, I'm done chewing now. Let's go.
Just an average thing we see in American society. Oh, there's a bunch of gum chewers. Oh, darn gum chewers. Oh, just standing there.
Love that idea, man.
We will take a time out. We'll come back with more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show, WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you to take you to the top of the hour and wrap up the week for the morning show. Thank you so much to all of the people that have joined us, all of our guests all week, and of mm-hmm. course, most importantly, all of you out there. Thank you so much, everybody. We appreciate you. I want to remind everybody, you know, the morning show could always use a sponsor. I was just thinking about that. Sunrise Show has been making fun of the morning show because it has a sponsor.
It has a sponsor. And, the morning show doesn't have a sponsor.
As the host of both of these shows, let me tell you, I'm really tired of them bickering back and forth. And they get along for the most part. They're siblings, you know? It's a sibling rivalry.
Right, yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
all it is. Yeah. So, hey, we're always looking for a sponsor. If you want to, reach out to our sales staff, 424-1300, 424-1300. It's been a while since I've had to say that.
I know.
reach out to Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley and get you a part of the team. team.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, the Kitchen's Open segment could use a sponsor. Mm-hmm. We've got other shows, Seth Faces the Music. It's a great opportunity not only to be a teammate with us and to work with us, but think about the way that we talk about local businesses on this show. Mm-hmm. When you advertise with us, we don't just mention you in the break or something like that. We ramble about you. Have you heard us talk about El Cafe? Over the years, Misty's Menu, Family Natural Foods, other businesses that work with us.
I don't know if people remember back in the day when you're supposed to be very, you know, just read this. Just right. this. That's yeah. it. Just read this copy right here. That's all you need to do. Yeah, we don't do that.
Nope.
We just keep going.
I will say I grew up doing that in radio. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I got the opportunity to do a job like this where I could do my own thing a little bit, I'm like, no, these are local businesses. Mm-hmm. We're not going to just we're going to read the press release or what mm-hmm. have you and yep. everything that we're given. But we're also going to give these people their due because they invest in us. They put into us. They invest mm-hmm. in their community. We're going to
invest
right
in them.
Back.
Yeah.
So go ahead and advertise with us, everybody. 424-1300. Get in touch with our front desk. Then a right story time. Tim Hortons will have to sell a lot of coffee to pay for this if it happens. A guy in Canada named Darren Stewart Jones got an email from Tim Hortons on Wednesday telling him he'd won a $40,000 fishing boat. It was the grand prize in a contest they've been running called a Roll Up to Win. And as you'd imagine, he'd be very excited until an hour later when a buddy called him and said he'd also won a boat, the same boat.
Uh-oh.
Turns out it was a mistake. Tim Hortons apparently told everyone they won the boat.
Oh, no.
So thousands of people, if not more, got the alert.
Oh, no.
They sent up a follow-up email telling people to disregard the boat thing, but now a ton of angry Canadians are threatening them with a class action lawsuit. And how many times in your life have you heard angry Canadians?
I think that is quite possibly the most terrifying thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Because you got to get them to get Canadians that angry, man. You got to do something wrong.
You really do.
Now you're
like, think about that. And these are people too who have been like pent up, like they've been holding on to a lot of anger over things and stuff. So now they've got an opportunity to get it out on you. Someone started a Facebook group called Tim Hortons You Want a Boat Group. Nearly 2,000 people have joined it already, just as of last night.
Wow.
They probably won't. And they're all demanding boats. Like that. Okay, now you lost me.
You lost me a little bit there.
Grow up, okay?
Yeah. Demanding boats.
That probably won't happen because the fine print says Tim Hortons has the right to cancel, amend, or suspend.
Of course. Yep.
Boy, is their attorneys like taking a high five right now? Like, yeah. You see why you have us? You see why you hire us? We just saved you. Tim Hortons going bankrupt if that didn't happen.
Yeah, right.
But they might get something because this has happened before to Tim Hortons last year. This happened.
They didn't fix it?
In March of 23, they told a bunch of people that they had won $10,000 cash. Each customer ended up getting a $50 gift card to out of further trouble.
To be fair, that's a lot of Tim Hortons. $50 is worth because their stuff's not that expensive.
But
at the same time, dude. Ooh. Why didn't you fix it in the interim? Come on, guys.
Come
What's
on.
Going on over up there, up there in Canada?
Yeah, I don't know. But boy, angry man. Canadians, I love the idea of that. That is hilarious.
Hey, take off, eh?
Hey, Derry. Hey, you better come. We're coming for you, eh? Coming for that boat, Derry.
Yeah, I want my boat.
Our Midday Magazine is where we start our palate cleanser for today. We're going to have fun because in part one, we're going to have Wisconsin State Senator Patrick Teston joining us via the mm-hmm. phone. Always a good conversation with Senator Teston. Got a couple of bills that have been passed recently and a couple that haven't that we're going to get into with the senator.
Very good.
And in part two, we were supposed to be joined by our friends at the Wood County Health Department. They are unable to join us. That is okay. We understand their mm-hmm. day job comes first, and we appreciate everybody over at the Wood County Health Department. We will have a best of episode for you in part two.
Yes.
And we'll be talking about the drug take-back day that we were going to talk about with them next week a little bit. So we're looking forward to that. Keep in mind, a great lineup for you this weekend. Outdoors with Dan Small at 6 a.m. 7 o'clock, you got the Sunshine Polka Show. Maybe the greatest show you'll ever hear.
Mm-hmm.
Join us for that. Terry Talks Nutrition, brought to us from Terry Lemron, one of the godfathers in the supplement industry.
Mm-hmm.
A guy who knows more than most anybody does ever going to know in this subject. And I don't know if I could have said that sentence worse. And a big thank you to Family Natural Foods for sponsoring
that
show. Over the Back Fence, 11 to noon.
Yep.
Join Seth for that.
I'll be here.
Going to be a good show. Be sure to join
us.
Call up and join the conversation.
I get lonely.
And then we will not have our Sunday night lineup for you tonight, this Sunday, because we got Bucks playoff basketball.
Yep. Pre-game starts at 5:30. The tip-off is at 6, so Let's. It's the first game. Wow. Let's see how it's going to be an interesting.
It is going to be interesting.
Just hoping that they do something. I want a Bucks Timberwolves final.
I love that.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be pretty darn cool. I'd like to see that.
Every network would hate it. Shows basketball, but I would love it.
You count certain players, certain teams out. You just don't know what they're capable of. I feel that way about Dame Lillard. We'll see. We'll see. I'm putting personally. If I were to bet, that would be where my bet would go.
All right.
So we'll see. A cat in England named Tofu won't stop bringing trash into his owner's house through the cat door, but they think it's funny. They tell people he's out there cleaning up the neighborhood.
He's bitter about being named Tofu.
Yes,
that's what it is.
And April is Child Abuse Prevention Month, and a teenager in Nashville launched a big teddy bear toy drive for it. His name is Kenny Royer, and he's 17. He's donating them to a nonprofit called Davis House Child Advocacy Center that works with abused kids. His goal is to make sure every child that he help get at least one of these stuffed animals. Aww. And you can donate, everybody. You can be a part of this.
Cool.
You can donate a new stuffed animal by mailing it to the address listed on their website, or to donate money, you can do that. And again, that website address, I got that for you right here, stuffedanimalsforkids.davishouse. And if you just type in your search bar, stuffed animals for kids, Davis House. It'll pop up for you. Great show today, Seth.
Yeah, it was a good week.
Thank you, everybody, for a great week. We appreciate you. Be good to each other. Have a good weekend, and we'll talk to you on Monday right here at WFHR.